Hey, everybody, grab your board. It's time to hit the waves. Not the waves. We're going to talk about the airwaves, and we're going to talk about nonprofit boards. That threw you for a loop. Here's the woman that came up with the idea, Nelma Maddox. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Nobody talks about boards, much less nonprofit boards. I still struggle to understand how they come together and what they do and the different types. But she seemed to have the most interesting people, and they all seem to be having fun doing it.
What's interesting about this? Happy New Year, first of all.
Happy New Year. Right?
And then second of all, this is show 7 or 8, which is mind-blowing to me because I didn't think I'd have this many people coming in.
And 2 or 3, maybe.
Yeah, but. Right? But I'm joined today with Chris and Emily Nguyen. I'm so excited to see you guys. First of all, happy 25th anniversary.
Thank you.
That
Thank
is
you.
An amazing accomplishment.
This is how they're celebrating their anniversary? They
yes,
came here?
With wow. me and Mary. But anyway, we're here to talk about ePadrini, and I don't want to take away the attention from that. I think that's the reason why we're here. So without further ado, Chris, can you just, you told it in such a wonderful animated way before we got on.
And spell it and explain
yes,
it.
Yes, spell it and explain well, it for us, and then how it started, why, and why you stay.
So it started close to 30 years ago with a group of individuals at Antonello's restaurant over in South Coast Plaza. Antonio, the owner of the restaurant, Paul Musco, Dick Marconi, and a few other notable gentlemen would sit around and have really good food and a lot of really good wine. And after a while...
Let's explain a couple of those people, because I know who they are, but maybe not ever been a Dick Marconi. The Marconi Museum
yes.
made his fortune, I think. Didn't he make the supplements for...
Herbalife.
Herbalife, yeah.
Yes,
oh,
Herbalife. Okay. Yes.
And you were saying Paul Musco, I know his name's on a building at Chapman, some other places here.
He owns an exterior lighting, street lighting company. So they would do exterior lighting, everything from your street lights to your sconce lights, a lot of commercial. They were the lighting experts and still are out there, one of the largest companies. And
so these are guys with some money.
Yes, I would say very rich. And they would sit around and enjoy really good wines, good Italian food. And after a while, they started thinking, what can we do with our time and our efforts while we're here? We're discussing the problems of the world. We're talking about things we're putting money into. Why don't we do something ourselves?
That's great.
And that was the genesis of ePadrini. And
spell it, because I still had trouble putting it in the title even here.
So it's I'ApostropheP-A-D-R-I-N-I.
Does that mean anything?
It means the Godfathers.
Oh, the Godfathers. The
yep.
Godfathers.
The Godfathers.
Of course.
So cool.
And it's the Godfathers of ePadrini d'Antonello's is the long version of the name. Okay. But everyone refers to it as ePadrini. And what we do is unique out there. I've been on a lot of boards through the years, and I'm on a few right now for children. ePadrini looks at direct funding needs to children, which I think is important. So they're not writing a check just to a large organization and saying, here's money for your general funds. People come to us with a direct need for a child, a wheelchair, a specialized bicycle, the tricycles, hearing aids. We just funded this year Clara's Chance over in Fullerton. They have an equine therapy program for children with muscular dystrophy and muscular dystrophy and cerebral palsy. And we witnessed there a child that started. He's 6 years into the program. He's 12 now.
Wow.
And he was 6 when he showed up, and he was in a wheelchair. Now the kid is walking on his own, playing Challenger football, the quarterback of the team, by the way.
What?
But they put him on a horse, and it was amazing to witness. And they move him around 90 degrees each time. They have specialized saddles, and they throw him a football, and there's a team of 5 people working with him
wow.
while he's going around an arena in different patterns. So it's putting different stresses on his core while he's focused on catching a football, throwing it back, and keeping himself on the horse.
That's incredible.
So he's building communication, he's building core, he's building just overall strength.
And he's building a bond with the horse. Can I just
correct.
Go down a rabbit hole for 1 second? We've
yes.
had the people on the Shea Center on here numerous times on the San Juan Conference. Mm-hmm. They do equine therapy. Never mm-hmm. heard of this. We do a show called Veteran Talk. With
Veteran Strong.
Veteran Strong, I'm sorry. Veteran Strong.
Okay.
And thanks for correcting that. And introduced me to him. And they do the same thing with veterans. Mm-hmm. And they say, putting you on a horse is scared. You're scared.
Mm-hmm.
The horse senses you. You sense the horse. You don't have to have a lot of communication. Suddenly, you're learning to trust. Suddenly, you're learning to communicate. Suddenly, you're learning to coordinate, work together to do something that you didn't think you could do. Horse is a big, it's like the horse whisperer. It's a big part
of it. It's an incredible bond. Doesn't Seneca do that as well?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for me. So we also sponsor Seneca. We put a complete barn in for them, a riding arena. We've bought horses for them as well. So Seneca, they take children that have been either so abused or so misused by systems that they don't trust adults.
Yeah.
And what they do is they start out with a horse, the child, and a trainer. And the trainer is actually a therapist. The child does not know that a therapist is there. They're silent the first few times.
Wow.
And they're learning the horse, earning the horse's trust, and the child learns to trust the horse and the therapist. And so a few lessons in, this child's opening up. They're trusting people that they have not learned to trust for a long time. And it's giving them that faith and that opportunity to grow and fix their trauma and address that in a manner that is non, they're not sitting in a clinical office surrounded by doctors. They're working with someone in nature, and they're learning to build that confidence back up from the ground up.
And the horse has to trust you.
Oh, yes.
So you have to convey you have to be a trustworthy person to the horse, too. Not just trust the horse isn't going to throw you off here, but
100%.
I don't want to be morbid, but it's triggering a thought for me.
Yeah.
I just recently went to a celebration of life for a 93-year-old man who was my dad's best friend, and there are so many stories about men, like when they, at the tail end of their lives, they actually go back to the days when they were best friends with a horse.
Really?
And it's the sweetest thing ever. My dad's horse's name was Carmel. And I don't remember what this gentleman's name of the horse was. But okay, I'm going to shift. That's why Paul keeps me honest. But I do want to include Emily in this conversation because
Emily wants to be included.
I know she doesn't. We're gonna force her. I was just thinking about Ipadrini. I think we've actually been to one of your events, and I remember it being very special. Emily, can you tell me what Ipadrini's most successful event is?
And what's it mean for you? Does he just go off and do this and you say good luck, or do you help and participate?
I would say the Christmas breakfast is probably the biggest event for everybody. They usually have about 100 to 150 foster kids who come in. Sometimes we bring in families from shelters, but they get breakfast. Their one ticket to go to this event is they have to tell us one thing that they want from Santa.
Oh, wow.
So I go out and purchase all of these gifts for all the children. I usually get a group of my mom friends. We all get together and wrap everything. And then we present it to Santa Claus, who then gives it to the kids.
That's
at
amazing.
The breakfast. So they come for a wonderful breakfast, sing carols, coloring, having fun. And what's been great is we've brought in through the years our children's sports teams, so they can come back and give back, and they wear their uniforms and walk around and talk to the kids and hang out with them. And so I think it's a multi-level
event. So you've struck another chord with me here. My only daughter was adopted from foster care, and she was terrible. I won't go through the whole story. Terrible story, found in bad situation, taken into foster care. And we adopted her when she was 10. So the first Christmas we adopted her, we did what you're doing. What would you like from Santa? What would you like for Christmas? And she pulled back. She said, could I have two toys maybe? And it was like two. I think we gave her like 200 or something the first year. You know? But it just blows my mind. The foster kids are a topic that's near and dear to my heart.
I can't believe I've been doing this show this long, and this is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Oh, the best story we had was last year. We had this little boy who showed up in a suit and tie and walked up and just was so enamored, and everybody's in tears. And look, watching this little boy walk up, and he said, Santa, last year you missed me. So I thought I would show up in my nicest suit so I could meet you and hopefully let you know what I wanted to get
impress
for Christmas
you,
this
so
year.
Remember me.
Oh
yeah.
Because he didn't receive anything and had never. That was the first time he had ever gotten a gift from Santa.
That doesn't tug at your heartstring. Yeah. No one would. Yeah, that's incredible.
So you guys raise money for the kid. I wrap my head around this. You don't just, how do people come to you and say, my child needs something or some child needs something here?
Wonderful question. So we offer a few venues to do that. We recently, in the last few years, started an event called the Spring Soiree, and we invite probably close to 20 charities to come, and we do a Shark Tank style pitch. So all of them get 3.5 minutes to pitch us. And it's not just pitching us. We spend 3 hours curating an event where they're all walking around and networking with each other outside of the pitch time with us.
That's
and
so cool.
I'll give you some fun for instances. We have one that does backpacks for kids at school. We get like the coloring books, the pens, pencils, rulers, all of that. They had so many last year. Even give out. Another charity said, we could use those. Wow, we have shoes from Vans donated us shoes. And they said, we could use shoes. They actually exchanged things that they had. Mm-hmm. So charities are networking there, and they're able to figure out what they want. But back to your question, we enable them to give us that pitch. And so now we're bringing 20 charities in for that. And they're talking about what they need for the year. And then after that, we refine it. So we say, okay, let's focus on this part. We like what you're doing. We like everything you're doing. But we want to play here. Let's focus here where we're greatest efficacy.
And make an impact. We could do this. I could see that. You can't do everything. You can't cure.
No. Yeah. We raise a few a few hundred thousand dollars, and we try to give it all away every year. And the biggest thing that we work on with that is efficacy. So a kid comes and they need a wheelchair. We don't go out on just Amazon or whatever. We go through we have so many resources available to us. We go to and find the best one we can, and we negotiate with them, and we pay directly for it and give that to them. So instead of 20-30% loss and staff going out and all of these other costs, we directly go and we buy it, we write a check, we hand it to them. Same thing with the hearing aids. We've got hearing aid centers that we'll go to, and we'll buy the one with a 5-year warranties, whereas the kid's growing, they can get new molds done for the hearing aids.
Incredible.
And if they break, they're warrantied, so they're not out. But we've had kids come to us that have to borrow them when they go to school. And then they go home, they're not able to have them. That's horrible. Every kid that has that need should have a pair. So we look at things like that. We have supported a lot of children in foster situations where the parents are taking them on and they need some clothing. They need a lot of other things to help them get started, and we'll kickstart that. We work with
Can I tell you what every foster kid needs since I raised this up? The biggest shock, so many shocks dealing with foster children. When they come into the system, when they're grabbed, when they're taken out of a terrible situation, they don't have suitcases. They don't go pack stuff. They take them. Yeah. And maybe some later they come back and they bring a garbage bag.
That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm.
So when my daughter came to us we were her foster adopt parents at first. So we were foster parents and then we adopted her. When she came into our house, she had all her possessions in a trash bag. Mm-hmm. What does that say about you as a child? Everything I own's in a trash bag. Not a backpack, not a...
No, it's alarming. And I've actually heard that statistic for suitcases or the roller bag.
Yeah.
Honestly, a roller bag is really important,
Even better,
because then they can kind of be mobile and think about, and they're going from place to place. Okay, so let's shift gears again. We'll talk a little bit about your board. What's the ideal board member like?
We have such a good diversity. I love diversity in a board. We have several lawyers. We have some accountants. We have a private detective.
Private detective.
And what's funny?
I don't know why that's funny, but a private detective.
It is. And what's interesting is we've had situations where some of the groups like Seneca, they try to reunite kids with family members before letting them go into the system.
Oh, yeah.
He's donated his time to help find family members because he has programs the police use without using police resources to find family members that could be suitable. And so he's donated that time. He never charges for that to help find them.
That's incredible.
And it's really quite inspiring to see that
happen. So can I ask you two more questions? I'm sorry
to
keep asking
questions.
No, please. This is Nelma's show, but you got me curious now here. One, how do you find those people? And two, how do they find you?
Okay, good questions on both. So let's start with how do we find these people? I always like, one of the tenets of our charity is you have to like the guy next to you. So if we don't...
Is that true in every board now, man? Maybe not.
No. But
how long's the show today?
So to join our group, you have to meet with three different individuals. And the purpose of that is to screen them and let them know that, hey, we raise money, we do a lot of good for kids, but we also want to like each other and respect each other. There's people that have been members for 30 years in our group.
Wow.
And we love that. We have low turnover. And you have to like each other. You have to understand each other. And I think that's important. So how do we find them? I always have my eyes open for good people that are out there that I'll invite. And maybe the fit number's 50% on that, where I really think they're great. And a lot of the guys, too, I would say, lend a lot of credence if I bring somebody in. But at the same time, they have to go out and find other people in the group that they like and get along with as well. So we keep our eye open for talent, just like I would in my company. I always have somebody that I want for sales. I have somebody I want to work for me internally. So if I have turnover.
What do you do? Right. I don't think we identified what you do.
I have a company. We do the equipment and materials they use to build semiconductors.
Oh.
So we sell everything from test front end, back end, test equipment, plus the consumables they use to build electronics and semiconductors.
Okay.
And then I'm going to just pause here because I told Emily before we came up here, I was going to give Chris a hard time. Chris is the reason why I'm sitting here today.
What?
He is. And I'm not even really sure how that happened. All I know
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I ended up on a board and he ran away from the board. I won't say which board. People will figure it out. But maybe we'll talk about that for a minute. You spotted me, and then and then where do we go from there?
He recruited you and then split?
I could tell you the exact reason. And I was looking for a replacement for me. Whenever I leave a board, I always look for an apt replacement.
Sucker.
Just like, and it's anytime you're on a board or in a leadership function, if you're not looking to work yourself out of a job, it's not always a wise thing. So
yeah,
I was, I'd put my 8 years in and I was ready for different challenges. I had, Nelma, you are one of those fun people. Your enthusiasm is infectious everywhere you go. You have a great level of enthusiasm. And I thought that would, number one, your organizational skills are wonderful. Your communication skills are on par and your enthusiasm is there. And those are always things, no matter what the level of technical expertise somebody has, every board can benefit from.
Oh, that's very kind. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to turn really red. That's not, that was not where I wanted
pretty
that
nice
to go.
Stuff there, yeah.
Yeah, it was a, that's not was, that was not the intention. But
can I
do
say something
tell you,
bad about
thank
Nelma,
you.
Though?
Yeah,
can
do
we balance it.
Let's do it.
She pretends she went to UCI. She wears a Zot hat. She really did not go to UCI here.
The love of my life went to UCI.
All right.
So this is the reason why I ended up with that. And because of him, I ended up on the UCI Diabetes Center board as well for a little bit. And Chris is right. That's one of the things I've actually started to do is work my way off. I'm not as good as you. I did not find a replacement. People don't seem to want to do it because it's a lot of work. But I will say that there is a time when you can realize it's time for other leadership to step up.
Is it okay to go? Because I would feel bad. It's like you've done it and then you can't leave. You're doing this.
No,
it's
like any job in life. If you feel you've given a lot of the energy you have to give, before that energy turns anything but positive and forward moving. And in the case of that board, it wasn't that it was going to turn, but I really done a lot of the work I set out to do, and they were on a mission of growth and items that weren't my forte. We helped steer them through a rough patch, and I thought did a good job with that. And at the end of the day, sometimes when your energy is done, it's best to take that and put it in a different direction. And I think it was the perfect moment at that. And not everyone gets that, but sometimes even with jobs, that you've done what you really could accomplish, and maybe it's time for a fresh set of eyes to look at that job, and another opportunity comes along. I've focused now on different boards, more merging boards. I'm on three different children's boards right now on different ones, and we can discuss those later if you wish. And I love the fact it's like a startup company on some of them. We still do several $100,000 a year, but it's that startup mentality and all of the lessons and the wherewithal. And I can bring in breadth, and I paid a lot of tuition. And if I can help them through those things where they don't pay all the tuition, it's a good thing. And there's accomplishment there.
Now, Nelma, did you notice how he dodged the question of how he got recruited for the board? I didn't hear how he joined the board. He just pivoted beautifully around that.
Okay, I'm going to speak for them here because I think Chris and Emily are very humble. They're not going to tell you that the reason why they got looped in is because they're just community pillars as it is. You happen to have the treasure, as we like to call it in the nonprofit world. It's not the time, but I've seen Emily at every single event. If I'm out at Miracles and we're packing backpacks, Emily's there with Jocelyn. We've done so many things where Tristan and Emily were there. And it's the example that they live by that has made their kids so super successful. So they're both at University of Utah. And they will thrive, and they will come back, and they will be giving back to their communities in many ways, too. And I think that's probably why we're drawn to the Wynn family, A. But then, B, we talked about this a lot, Paul, in terms of our how many nonprofits there are in Orange County. There's over 9,000. And so, therefore, nobody knows where to give a lot of times. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show, is to be able to, for people to come in and feature it, and be able to talk about it. The other spin that Paul knows, I try to bring in a youth. And I would have loved to have Jocelyn or Tristan come, but maybe when they're off in the summer, we'll do this again and we'll have them talk about another one of the nonprofit boards.
Because I don't picture kids getting involved in nonprofits.
I shock him every time, and he's like, why aren't my grandkids doing this?
Yeah, my kids, they're sitting home playing video games or something. Dragging them out of the house to do anything seems to be difficult. And her son was the most honest. He came in here on one of the shows, and I said, okay, come on. We'll send your mom out of the room. Why did you get involved in this? He said, because she made me. And then later on said, so why do you keep doing it? He said, because I really liked it.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah. Sometimes you got to push them.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
Growing up, my dad grew up on a dirt floor farmhouse with sharecropper parents.
Wow. Oh,
came from nothing.
I didn't know that.
And left Idaho with a postcard for San Jose State University and showed up there like a Rudy story. I'm here to go to school.
Wow.
And it wasn't that easy. And worked three jobs. Played football, did a lot of things to make ends meet, and got through school. And growing up, he was never the guy that said, you have to have a 4.0 average, or you have to do this. He said, you have a lot more opportunity than I ever did in life. Do better. Yeah. I expect you to do better.
Yeah.
And that ethos he put in, and growing up also, he took several of our friends that did not have good home lives, and my mom always had a meal on the table for them if they wanted it. Yeah. And he paid for college for three of them.
Wow.
They would bring him their grades, and he would make them pay, and he would reimburse them for that semester.
Oh, incredible.
And those, all three of those guys are doing good things nowadays. One's a pilot for American Airlines.
What?
And they're all doing good things. And they might, maybe they would have done that on their own, but my dad sat down and always expected people that were over at the house to have a conversation about what they were doing in life and where they were going. And
so is that why you give back? Is that why you don't just, because many, we did a lot of business shows. These people worked 23 out of 24 hours a day on their business.
Yeah.
There isn't any time left to do anything else.
Yes. So that was some of the real foundations. I would say the bedrock of giving back and doing it, but also, it was just trying, when he said do better, how do you do better than that? Do you do it on a larger scale then?
Uh-huh.
And doing that on a larger scale was a way to get back. And then nowadays in age, you have so much distraction out there, and the kids are distracted with games, phones, social media, all these things. So how do you try to instill that in them? And you drag them to these things. And luckily, I don't think we ever had to drag our kids to as much of those things. They enjoyed doing them. And if it was delivering meals at Thanksgiving time for terminally ill kids or getting their sports teams together to help with the breakfast with Santa, they were always in to do these things. And my son actually came back early from college this year at Christmas time to be there for the event. It's just special to get to do these things with them and share these. You don't get those times back.
Yeah.
And I hope they're both in fraternity and sorority.
Yep.
And they're both active on the philanthropy side of this. And I hope just a lesson of what they've learned helps carry them through on it.
It was your example, right? And it's probably way too early to talk about this. Larry cringes when I say this, but I can't wait to have grandkids and parade them around.
He told me the same thing just a few minutes ago.
I'm Filipino. We want grandkids immediately. And Larry's, what is your problem? But anyway, we've got to be closing in on time. Emily, any closing thoughts as we kind of part ways? No, don't mean to put you on the spot.
I actually want to compliment her on something real quickly.
Let's do it.
Fill in on
Let's
some details she wouldn't tell you. Every year we put together all of these tasks. She rises to the occasion and holds this all together. When we show up for presents, the paper is wrapped based on the group. We have three or four groups that come. The presents are wrapped in a specific color for that group, organized by the kids in the order that she hopes they come in. And the Santa, we use Disney Santa, so he's a professional. This guy is amazing.
That's great.
She has briefed him on all of these kids. They have the list.
Santa.
I mean, all of this.
It's like the White House briefing.
Yeah. Right? She has organized all of this. And we show up and get to look like these amazing people because of the back end work that she got done on this there. So these events don't happen easy, and they don't happen without help like that, because as guys, we are not that organized.
No.
We can run boards, we can make money, we can close a deal. You ask us to do this, it would take us, we'd still be laying on the floor.
I didn't think I wanted her to be in here. She's the cog in the wheel. Yeah. Sounds like your board only has men, but by the grace of the women behind you.
100%.
Maybe that's a good place to close, Paul.
Pursue that for 1 second, because I don't know the makeup of most boards. Are most boards men?
No. No. It's just this particular one. Yeah. Ipadrini. It's the Godfather. It's not called Godmothers, okay? You can start one like that, but...
I want Emily to give us her take. What does she think? She didn't want to even come on and talk about this here today. She wanted to be just sitting over in the corner here, quietly watching this thing here.
Always working in the background.
I'm in the shadows.
So what is it that keeps you coming back? You don't have to do this. No. He's involved. That doesn't mean you have to do that much work in it or whatever.
I think that's one of the things that makes us such a good team. Is our passion for doing these sort of things.
And what would you tell other couples out there? Because I would think Sunset Grass is pretty successful, got a big company. You're fighting to get him paid, come home, leave the business, come home, play with the kids, be here, be present, not there. And yet he's saying, but we got a third place to go.
After now, so I taught, stayed home, raised my kids, and went back to education. So for me, I'm all day with kids at school, and I come home and deal with the big kid who has all of his other things. So it just goes with the flow of the day.
I was also going to say, and we're going to finish on this, because 25 years of marriage is not easy, especially in this county.
No.
But I do want to also say, and give a shout out to our men, because it's one of the things for me that has kept me with Larry in a marriage of a partnership. It's true. His generosity, I didn't know about. When you're 23 years old and you meet, you have no idea what kind of dad they're going to be, what kind of husband they're going to be. You just get lucky sometimes. And I would just say that. I look forward to continuing to see you guys in the community. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well,
stay action-oriented and purposed. And
how did they find
Ipadrini.org, I bet.
How they go find it?
It's actually ipadrini.com.
So spell it again, because nobody remember how to do it. Nobody knows the Godfather in Italiano.
Yeah. If you go to the website, it's just ipadrini.com. because we didn't get the apostrophe.
Okay.
I think we were too cheap. But
I don't think you can in the domain. I think
yes.
They want to spend that money on something else.
It is I'PADRINI.
And can people donate or get involved?
There is a link on there to donate.
And what do you want from people? Do you want them to participate, to help bodies, to help wrap things, references to... What are you looking for?
We host a big gala every year, and that's one of our big primary money makers, and it's always in October. And we would love for more people to buy tables, buy seats, come, enjoy it, enjoy what we're about. It's open. You don't have to be a member to come to the gala. And we have some fabulous auction items. We use a very good auctioneer. This year we had a 130-foot yacht auctioned off to a day and a half on that with a full crew.
Oh.
It was amazing. Nice. And we put wine lockers together, like an instant wine collection.
Oh, incredible.
I think somebody paid $20,000 for that, but they got about $40,000 worth of wine. And so it's really amazing the things we put together. We had some Cartier donated some pens, and we have a lot of fun. And it's a fun event just to see what we're about, enjoy some entertainment. And what sets our gala aside from some of the big ones out there is the big community smaller in it. So everyone gets to know each other and has a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm amazed. Once again, Nelma, you keep bringing them in. How do they find you if they want to learn more about you and your show and what you're doing?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Davey, parentheses, Nelma, M, and then like the show and subscribe on the YouTube.
And tell people
Radio.
About it.
Yeah,
because this
sure.
is a very unique conversation.
Clips. There'll be some clips you guys can forward.
All right. Appreciate it. Love it. All
awesome.
Right. Look forward to the next one. Thank you so much for the work you do and for coming in and telling us about it, because I'm still learning what's out there in the community here and how you guys are making a difference through stuff like this. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There you have it. If that's not reason to come back and hear some more, I don't know what is. Let's talk. More walk, less talk. Spotlighting boards that lead by example. That's what we're trying to find and highlight here. One, tell us. Love to tell them. Tout them. Board Talk right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.